Well, how easy do you find it to believe things? Do you believe things straight away? And sometimes maybe you get a bit caught out and you feel like you've been a bit gullible. Or maybe you wait to see whether something's true. Maybe you wait and reserve judgment a bit. And maybe sometimes people think of you as being a bit cynical. How easy do you find it to believe things? Well, Jonathan and I, as I said, work in Cardiff, and he drives there most days, and I go with him as well, obviously, on my working days. And you might have heard that the bridge toll is finally finishing. In fact, I believe, as we speak, they may be removing the booths right at this very moment. And we were driving back on Friday, having paid our final bridge toll over the bridge, and I heard myself saying, "Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it's actually going to happen after all the rumours and false hopes we've had, because honestly, we've been going for 8 years and they've been promising that it's going to stop the whole time, and now it is." And I'm thinking, I can't believe it. And as I heard myself say it, I remembered that that's what I'm talking about this Sunday, believing. It struck me how hard it is for us to believe new things, and how hard it is for us to believe things that don't fit with our past experience or things that we can't see. Here's me struggling to believe something which I'm pretty certain is actually going to happen, while in this passage, we read about Mary, who believed a fantastical message from the angel. She believed it from the start, when it was way out of her experience and way out of her expectations. How slow we are sometimes to believe what we don't see. I think some of it is in our culture, isn't it? It's more acceptable, I think, to be cynical because it looks kind of clever, than it is to be gullible. Do you think that, you know, if you're gullible, it looks a bit simple and foolish, whereas if you're cynical, you sort of looks like you know a bit more? I know that often for myself, if I, you know, I'm waiting, I want to see for myself, or if something doesn't work, you know, at home, Jonathan's trying to get something to work, I'll say, "Oh, let me have a go. I want to try it for myself and see whether it does work or not." And I think there's someone who responds like that earlier in this passage. Before Gabriel appears to Mary, he has already appeared to Zechariah, who's a relative of Mary's. And the angel comes to Zechariah and tells him that his elderly wife is going to have a baby. And Zechariah's response is, "How can I be sure of this?" Basically, what he's saying to the angel is, "I can see you standing here in front of me telling me, but that's not enough. I'm not really sure. How can I know that it's true? I can't believe it." The angel knew he didn't believe it, and he called him out on it. He said, the angel said to Zechariah, "You didn't believe what I said." He knew. So what suggests that Mary genuinely believed right from the start when the angel appeared? Well, there's two indications, I think, in the text. The first is that if you look, just a few days later, she went to see her cousin Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife. She went to the hill country to see him. And, you know, in those days, there weren't pregnancy tests. You had to wait for ages to find out if you're pregnant. She went, she acted on that message before she knew she was pregnant. She can't have known she was pregnant. She was only, like, in her first couple of weeks. And she went off and told Elizabeth her news. The second thing is that the writer of this text makes a point, actually, of telling us that her belief is commendable. When Mary arrives at her cousin Elizabeth and meets her, Luke tells us that one of the first things Elizabeth says to Mary is, "You're blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." And Luke's put that in to show us that Mary believed, where before he showed us that Zechariah didn't. And so what is it about Mary that means she's able to believe as soon as the angel appeared to her? That's what I was interested to look at. Mary seems to believe God in a very straightforward way, I think, doesn't she? We might call it a simple way, but don't let our cultural view of simple put you off there. There's a place in Matthew's gospel where it said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Mary's pure, simple, believing heart meant that she was blessed, and she did see God, didn't she? She saw the Son of God. Perhaps we can get some insight here if we think about the simple way that a child can trust a parent. As a parent, you can often see how limited a child's understanding is. If a child thinks there's monsters under the bed, then we know that there aren't. But we know how hard it is to persuade a child. I don't know if any of your children have been through that stage. Mine had little phases of it. Often you can't persuade them. Sometimes you just have to love and comfort them in their fear and meet them in their perception of reality, even though you know it's not the truth. And then they find peace in your presence and comfort in your assurances. And I think God, in his mercy, does that with us sometimes, doesn't he? But if a child really believes what you say and they really trust you, they might accept your word over their perception. They might believe your truth rather than what they think's right. I think that's what God actually asks us to do with him, isn't it? He sees a wider, bigger, fuller picture with more than we can know or imagine, and more than we could even hold in our minds if we could know it. You know, God's ways are higher than ours and his thoughts are higher than ours. He's the Father who's asking us, like a child, to put our trust in him even when we see things differently. And I think that's what Mary does. Her natural position has moved beyond just being comforted in her fears because God is near. It's moved further into believing that the things he says are true. And even if they're not as she perceives them, she believes that if God says she's favoured, then that is the truth, whatever the immediate appearance. It has echoes, doesn't it, of what God says in Proverbs, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding." Or Paul sees the same thing in one of his letters. He says, "Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror." That must have been what it was like for Mary. "But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything, just as God knows me completely." Mary knew that God saw everything and that he knew her completely. The outworking for Mary of knowing that is that she trusted God completely. We get a glimpse of what Mary believed about God from the words that she uses when she meets Elizabeth, when she goes to visit her. The words in Mary's heart are expressed in a song that follows on from this passage that is known as the Magnificat. They show us that she had what she had founded her life on and why she was able to believe so immediately the message from the angel. First of all, she trusted God completely for herself. She says in that song, "For he took notice of this lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me." She saw herself as personally known and cared for by God. She would be blessed. Whatever happened, this was ultimately a blessing for her. She was ready to give up the life she had in mind and instead accept this completely unknown and unexpected life that the angel was telling her about. We know what happened in later times in her life, don't we? Because many of us know the stories of what happened when Jesus grew up. And even when he was a boy of 12, you know, that was a difficult experience for her. I wonder if she still felt blessed at those times. From reading her words here, I rather expect that she did. I think, you know, the traditional portrayal of Mary as someone who's quite demure and mild and just lets things happen to her. But to hold to God's view of her situation, that situation that she's in, as a blessing, was a pretty resolute thing to do, wasn't it, I think. She must have been quite strong in her will. She must have been quite independent in the face of pressure, the pressure of her culture and her family. Maybe she was a bit stubborn. She certainly knew what she wanted. And what she wanted was relationship with God. She wanted to know that personal, loving relationship with God more. She saw beyond her situation to her eternal standing with God and that everlasting connection. And nothing that happened, like in this world, could shake that, because a lot did happen that would have shaken lesser people, I'm sure. I think if anyone had reason to be anxious about their personal situation, it was probably Mary, wasn't it? She was young. She was unmarried. She was just an ordinary, fairly poor rural girl in a very male-dominated culture, and she was going to have a baby. And how was she going to explain that? She was going to tell people she'd seen an angel. Well, we see that she simply trusted the God that she knew. She really knows her God as the personal God in her life, and she had faith and confidence in him. She has no doubt that he's for her, and he wants to bless her through whatever's going to happen. And we hear that in her final words to the angel Gabriel that we just saw on the reading. I am the Lord's servant, she says, and I'm willing to accept whatever he wants. May everything you have said come true. That's a big prayer. I know many of us have prayed prayers like that in trepidation. You never really know what you're saying yes to. But she was saying yes to, she'd had glimpses of what might come. You know, you're going to have a baby, and who knows where it's going to come from. When I read those words of Mary, they remind me of words of Jesus a few years later. He too was someone who really knew God, didn't he? His Father God in heaven. And his words carry that same attitude of heart. Words like, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I do only what I see my Father doing. Not my will, but yours. They are words of people who are in deep relationship with God. They say, I trust you. They say, I'm completely available to you. And they are. They were, weren't they? Both Mary and Jesus let go of everything, even their own bodies. Both of them gave up their own bodies to God. And they both put themselves completely in his hands. So was the message from Gabriel enough to answer all Mary's questions? I doubt it. She sort of finds out how she'll get pregnant, but it's not massively clear and there aren't any more details. And then she's left to work out all the rest for herself, which somehow she has the character and personality to do so. What's she going to tell her parents? How's she going to sort things out with Joseph? Will anyone help her? What's this boy going to be like? Does she just treat him like a normal child? You know, I guess he was a bit like the kids that we've had running around in here. What do you do when, you know... You know where he's come from. But she was able to stand firm, wasn't she? She was able to stand firm, facing this angel and facing the future without fear. She was able to trust God. She was able in that to feel blessed. And that shows something, I think, of why God chose Mary and called her highly favored. The second thing we see in Mary's heart is that she actually believes and lives in the belief that God is good. He cares about people. He's able and strong and just and active. He's the sovereign God of the whole world. Listen to her words. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He's scattered the proud and haughty ones. He's brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. God's goodness is active everywhere. That's her belief and her understanding and what she bases her life on. Thirdly, she knows and believes that God is faithful. He's trustworthy and his promises can be relied on. He has been true to himself and to his word over the generations of her family, the generations of her people. She says, he shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. Now, we probably know these things in our hearts too. Many of us have, you know, read the Bible for years. And I'm sure that Zechariah had too. He knew them in his heart. But how much are they our first response in life? They weren't Zechariah's first response in life, and I think sometimes it's hard for us to make them our first response in life, our default position. But they were Mary's default position. This was like her normal attitude towards God, that she knew him to be a God who cared for her personally, a God who loved his people in a sovereign way all over the world, a God who was faithful through the ages. That's what she knew. And that is the thing that made Mary favored and blessed in the eyes of God, that she actually believed him. She had access to a life that's available to everyone, but which so many of us find hard, I think, to step into. She really did, in herself, live a life where she knew herself to be valued and cared for and ultimately and eternally safe. Because of her faith, she was in a position to follow the instruction of the angel. Do not fear. We might think of it a bit of a kind of a balm, don't we? We hear it so often in the Bible, oh, don't be afraid, there, that sort of thing, don't worry. But for Mary, I think it was a much more powerful statement than that. For her, she was able to say, I believe God, and God says this isn't something I should fear, so I will not fear. I'm not afraid. God often says to us through the Bible, doesn't he? And in other words, do not be afraid, do not be anxious, do not be discouraged, don't worry about anything, all those words that we hear. But how do you think that actually works? How have you learned to do it? Can we learn something about it here from Mary? The angel Gabriel doesn't say to Mary, just stand still while I take away your fear. He offers Mary a choice. He's kind of saying something like, you know that God can be trusted, and he says you don't need to be in fear with this. Will you choose to believe that or not? I think Mary believes it straight away because it's just her natural approach. Mary shows the extent of what she's learned to do by trusting God. But we can all start, I think. We can all learn something there and begin to grow in that art of trusting God. And so, not be afraid, not be worried, not be anxious, not be fearful. I'm involved in prayer ministry, as I mentioned, at Woodlands. And we often get a lot of people coming forward for prayer ministry for various things, fear and anxiety. We get a lot of people, you know, worried about the dissertation, fearful about all sorts of different things. And it is really important that people come forward and they speak out the things that they're fearful about. But what they're mostly actually wanting to come forward for, if we could get it out of them, is they really want an injection to put it right. They really want an anesthetic to take the feelings away. And we have discovered that that's not what God does. You can't just say to someone who's fearful, have peace. You know, we can pray the spirit of peace will be there, but really we have found that to find peace is a choice. It's a choice to trust God actively. It's a choice to step into the place of peace, and we can learn to choose. That's what we find we need to teach people, because it's a cooperation. It's that mystery, isn't it, between God doing it with us and us partnering with God in it. And he doesn't just come and do it to us, because he always gives us the chance to choose. He always respects our will to do the thing that we are choosing. If we're choosing to be fearful, that's our choice. If we're choosing to trust him and step into that place of peace, then he enables us to do that. So God holds out a peace that we have to reach out for and take. And do you know that we can actually learn to do that? A while ago, I stumbled a bit accidentally on one way of the learning into that process. And I thought I'd share it with you today because, you know, Mary's learned it and I would like to be further along that line too. I'm sure there's other ways, but it's quite hard, isn't it, for us to learn to trust God. So the more ways we have to practice, the better. So this is my sharing of how we can learn to take a step into that place of peace. Just take a chance now to think of something that you perhaps are worried or fearful about. You can close your eyes if you like and think about it. Something maybe that you're in the middle of at the moment. Perhaps it's some anxiety around Christmas. Or maybe it's a fear which is always there, lingering in the background. Perhaps it's about money or your children or your future. Imagine now what it would feel like if you really trusted God with it. If the things you know he said in that area were completely rock solid, certain. Imagine what it would feel like if you could give it to him and you knew that he would bring good into your life through it. He understands it. He's not going to let you down because he's faithful and trustworthy. He holds that thing in his hand. Whatever happens, you will be okay. How do you feel now? Can you notice the feeling? Can you sense a tension loosening? Can you sense a peace? I remember the first time I did this and I could just feel the tension melting away and a sense of peace of what it could feel like if I trusted God. But you may only have imagined it just now, but that is the place of peace that you can live in if you choose. The truth is, you really can trust God just like you imagine. He really does understand that problem. He's not going to let you down. He really is trustworthy and faithful and reliable, and he does hold it in his hand. And whatever happens, you will be okay. That is the truth of trusting God. As I first did it, when I realized that place of peace was available to me, you know, I understood that that is what God promises. Although I'd found it by imagining it, it is real. It's just a way of getting a glimpse of it. And once you've glimpsed it, you know that you can go for it. We can live in that place of peace all the time if we choose to trust God. And I think that's a little glimpse of the place where Mary was able to live. And she was able to respond to that instruction of do not fear by knowing, okay, God, you've got me in your hand, and I know it's going to be okay. Well, we do know that trusting God doesn't mean that everything is going to work out just as we hoped or expected. We might have to give up what we had in mind. We might have to let go of our own drive to be in control and sort things out in the way we planned. I'm pretty sure that not much of Mary's life worked out according to her original expectations. Trusting God means that the way it does work out is because he deeply cares for us in the place we are. He cares about our family, our people, our country. He cares about justice and climate change and inequality. He cares about Brexit and poverty and cruelty and all the things that we care about. Nothing that happens is a surprise to God. Whatever it is that you're fearful of or fearful that might happen, it won't be a surprise to God, and it's not beyond his capabilities and resources to work with it. We know it, but can we believe it like Mary did? Can we believe what we don't see and perhaps what we can't understand? Because we know that God is good and he can be trusted. We can begin to learn so that our first response is to believe and trust God. And our foundational belief is that we are eternally safe, whatever happens. So let's just finish by praying for a few moments and join in with as much of this prayer as you can in your mind. Lord God, we can glimpse in Mary what is possible. She believed you. She believed in her God. Her belief led her into a place of freedom from fear. What is there to fear, God, when you are with us? We know it in our heads, God. We choose now to take another step towards believing it in our hearts. And we do that because we want to know you more. We want to be more available to you in every part of our lives. We look to that goal of one day being able to truly say with Mary, I am the Lord's servant, and I'm willing to accept whatever he wants. May everything you have said come true. Amen.